Hello.
Hello. God, I'm glad you called.
Yeah, well, I wondered whether or not we should continue our conversation from last night. I believe we were talking about St. John's University.
Yeah, well, I'd love to talk. You got a minute?
Yeah. Do you remember some of the great storms from Collegeville?
The great storms?
Yeah, there were some great ones up that way.
No, that I don't remember.
There is an odd weather vortex in Collegeville.
God, you really are. You're sharp. You know your stuff.
I actually spent some time studying it up there because
really?
We had a weather outlet at...
I hope you keep talking to me. God, I love talking to you.
Well, happy to talk with you. We had a weather outlet at St. Cloud State. There's a meteorology department there. And what we'd do is drive up to Collegeville with our gadgets, our meters, our gauges. And what we found was a phenomenon up that way, not terribly different than what was reported in Guam in the 1940s. And what happens is there is a wall.
Would you eat a dip spot or something?
Very, very much a dip spot. And there is a wall of barometric pressure surrounding Collegeville that isolates and holds storms in place for as long as 7 to 8 days at a time.
Really?
Yeah.
This is why I love talking to you, because I learn stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we continue to have a presence up there even in the summer when school's out. And we recorded the other day a straight-line wind in Collegeville.
Uh-huh. You're kidding.
That hit 400 miles per hour.
You're kidding.
Which is a record.
The last straight-line wind that I was involved with was the one that blew down everybody's houses in Maple Grove, and I was the insurance agent trying to take care of everybody's problems, you know.
You know, in the Dakotas, they have what are called squiggly winds, which are very different from straight-line winds. They don't seem to follow any sort of pattern at all. It is as though a five-year-old were scribbling on a piece of paper.
Really?
And these squiggly winds can come through, and depending on the pattern, can move through a town where the only thing destroyed will be an outhouse in a guy's backyard, and the rest of the town is saved. Meanwhile, the next town over,
gets blown away.
The outhouse is the only thing that's saved, and everything
really?
Else is leveled.
God, God, I love talking to you. This stuff means a lot to me because I went through all these tornadoes and stuff, and I can tell you stories that you wouldn't believe. And yeah, you know that.
Oh, sure. I'll tell you, I took a trip up to North Dakota after the last squiggly wind went through, and of course it left exactly what I said. In one case, it took out just the outhouse, and the other town, the outhouse was the only thing standing.
Mm-hmm.
I went up there and talked to the mayors of both towns. We got together a little coffee shop called the Coffee Talk Cafe.
Okay.
And I said, you know what you want to do here? There's a outhouse sitting by itself about 80 miles from here. Meanwhile, there's a town that just lost an outhouse.
Oh, God.
And what they ended up doing was bringing the outhouse to the town that had lost the outhouse.
Really?
Everybody was happy. Win-win for everybody.
Hey, well, you laugh and you go away, you know.
Well,
that's the way... You know, but, you know, I talked to Mr. Dahl a couple of days ago, and I obviously I'm talking to you, too. But I keep telling him, hey, listen, a tornado comes. Hey, look at it. Here it is. Just kind of just get out of the way, you know. And I know you can't get your house out of the way. But
is
you
Dave
can get out of the way yourself. I mean, I mean, God, it ain't that big a deal.
Is Dave Dahl?
I've been through four of them.
Yeah. Is Dave Dahl a believer in getting out of the way?
No, I don't think so.
No, he's not. I've talked to him in the past, and he does not believe in getting out of the way. You know, Dave is the dean of meteorologists here in the Twin Cities, and I don't mind telling you there's a little bit of professional jealousy with him.
No, I know.
And his forecasting abilities are second to none. I'll give him that. But when it comes
to... these temperatures you get every day, highs and lows, that's so much crap. I can't even believe it.
In fact, I told him that the other day, and I said, you know, Dave, when it comes to tornadoes, I don't think you top my abilities at all. And if you look at some of the grades I got in meteorology school at Madison, Wisconsin, before I moved to Tonga, you'll see that...
You're from Tonga in Africa?
Originally from Tonga, and then I spent my formative years in Antarctica, where my dad was...
In Antarctica? You've got to be kidding. Well, I didn't know. You didn't tell me that before.
Yeah, my dad was...
Oh, running, I love Antarctica. That's a fantastic place to go.
He was running what are they called? One of those places that sells scented candles and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
And anyway, we got back here, and I wanted to be in Tornado Alley. Ever since I was a boy, I wanted to work in Tornado Alley. And I started,
well, you are.
Started applying for jobs in the Texas Panhandle and up through Oklahoma and Kansas.
When I get my bill
Nebraska,
from... When I get my bill from Ray Heppen...
Southern Minnesota.
When I get my bill from Ray Heppen, they have a little tornado just going through the middle of the bill.
Well, remember I told you the other night that I was going to bring in the ingredients for a tornado?
Yeah.
I got one sitting on my desk right now.
Really?
12-inch high. Remember I told you? You can...
Well, you can make a whirlwind or something.
Well, this is a tornado. It's actually identical to what came through a few years back.
Really?
The tornado featured in the CARE 11 footage. It's a replica. I even made sure that it moved the same way that one did, and I've got a little kind of a fake chopper hanging from a string with a little cameraman in it. And I can push that chopper right into the little tornado, and boom, that chopper is knocked against the wall, and that little tornado
is broken. It goes completely fluttering. I mean, there is no, you know, you can't adjust a chopper to something like that.
No. They told me when I brought this in tonight, they say, you let that thing get away from you, it'll be the last time you make a tornado in the shop here.
God, you are the seriously. You are the greatest. I love talking to you.
Thank you, Al.
No,
tell you what, I'm going to call you back because we're coming up on top of the hour. I got to give my report because apparently we got tornadic activity in the Yukon.
Can you call me back?
I'll call you right back.
Thanks.
Bye bye. Yeah, I'll blow as ever.
Hey, Blow, how you doing?
Good. What are you doing tonight, anyway?
I'm just sitting around. You know, I went through a divorce. Tough deal. And just sitting around doing nothing.
You mean ever since?
Yeah, ever since. It's one of those kind of deals, Blow. Can you hold on just for a second?
Yeah, sure.
I'm cracking open a Bud Light.
Yeah,
hold on for that just for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bet you put down a few of those since the divorce.
Well, you know, I did it right by everybody, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I was married for 27 years.
What the hell happened? That's a good long time, you'd think, at that
point.
Well,
no, it's just one of those things where you don't get along. You know, if you don't get along, you know, and, you know, this is, you know, back in the old days, and you know what I'm talking about, the old days, you know, you just did it and you went through it. Nowadays, hey, you get divorced, that's the way it is.
Let me tell you a little something about what happened with my wife and I. 34 years we were together, my wife and I.
Really?
34 years.
Really?
One day she wakes up. Comes walking into my office. I got a home office. She says, can I speak to you a minute? I said, go ahead. She tells me right then and there she's a lesbian.
Well, that's... I can't even respond to that one.
No. I said, are you telling me you were faking it all those years, honey?
What'd you say?
She said, what do I do for a living? And then it hit me. She's an actress.
She's a what?
She was an actress in television commercials.
Yeah.
So when she says to me, what do I do for a living, what she was saying is, I've been acting for 34 years.
Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, listen.
Well, I'll tell you something. There were a couple of nights where the acting would have outdone any genuine feeling from any other woman in America.
Really?
I guarantee you.
God. Yeah. Do you have any kids?
We had 9.
God, you know, I feel for you. You know, it's the pain that hurts.
Well, it hurt with every one of those 9. But fortunately, it was just her pain.
The after pain.
Oh, your after pain. Birth? Placenta?
No,
oh,
your pain.
Oh, my pain. Well, my pain was in finding out that I can't tell an actress from a woman having a swell time.
Well, you know, you just don't know, you know, and stuff happens. And
you know what's crazy? When she first said that to me, for half a second I thought of telling her I happen to be gay myself.
Oh, God.
You know, just to get back at her.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And but the kids were in the room, so I kept my mouth shut.
Well, I like I told you, I'm a psychology.
Well, and you understand.
So I know I know what happened and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I read.
But it doesn't make any difference. You know, it still feels the hard parts. You know,
I wrote Dear Abby afterwards because I was trying to get some advice free.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know if you're aware, but Abigail Van Buren used to live right here in the Twin Cities.
No, I know.
I just wrote and then hand-delivered it. She was at 740 River Drive there.
Well, I don't know that.
That's where she lived, and we used to go over there periodically and drop off letters whenever we wanted advice. And
oh,
I dropped off a letter, and she printed it.
Mm-hmm.
And her advice was that I should talk to my clergyman or family doctor.
Oh, yeah. I've got clergymen. I got a bunch of friends that are clergymen, but, you know.
What do you think their advice would be at that moment?
I don't know. I just, this is the way I'd look at it. If that happened to me, I'd just say, hey.
Well.
You know, what are you going to do?
That probably would have been the adult way to operate, but what we ended up doing, I just mentioned 9 kids overheard her little confession.
9 kids?
They were all there, when she packed up the car and headed down the driveway.
Are you kidding?
There were 9 dozen eggs being sent her way.
Really?
Oh, all 9 egged the hell out of that Chevrolet.
Holy.
She didn't make it to the public highway without needing to have the whole damn thing.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Oh,
God. I really feel for you. I'm just totally open to what you're saying.
She ended up moving to a place that has what has to be the worst weather on planet Earth, though, so I don't feel so bad anymore.
Well, but you still feel bad.
Well, I feel bad for all of us, but not for... I feel like she's getting what she deserved. She's been in 2 typhoons, a cyclone. She's been in an earthquake. She's been in a forest fire. She's been in a flood. And she doesn't get that she's living in the wrong part of the country.
Well... What can I say?
Yeah.
That's really tough. But you know, but you still love her.
I love the actress, and I've even written her letters saying, "What's the going rate for actresses? I'll pay union." You know.
But you still love her anyway, regardless of what.
Well, it's similar to, I loved Cher in Mask, but I don't love Cher.
No,
I just love the woman she played. You know, she was the mother of the deformed boy.
No, I understand. I remember that movie.
Same with my gal. I loved who she pretended to be. I love those phony nights under the sheets, 3 a.m., where she could put Meryl Streep to shame with some of her abilities.
I understand. I know what you're saying, but are you sure? Are you really sure that there's no love anymore?
Well, I know. I stopped by her place 1 month back in the spring. She was dating 3 gals at once.
Really?
They were conjoined, and in one case, so I guess 2 you would call it. One of them was conjoined, and one of them was just a regular gal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to say here. I'm kind of...
Well, you've been through it. I mean, you've been through the same thing.
Oh, divorce, yeah.
Well, that's the same thing.
Divorce was 27 years.
It's the same thing. I'm sure she was a lesbian, too, right?
I mean, lesbians. She wasn't.
Oh.
She just, sometimes you get divorced just because you're divorced, you know.
I mean, that's why you got divorced, because you found out you were divorced?
You know, I think you never know.
Well, there's paperwork on that. You should be able to find out.
Well, no. We still talk and everything, you know, see.
What do you talk about?
Well, we talk about stuff, you know. When we got divorced, she lived with me for another year.
What the this hell? What,
no,
do you guys have...
Well, you have no idea how unimaginative this really was.
Oh,
it was the craziest thing I've ever...
You guys have relations after you were divorced?
Pardon me?
Did you have relations?
No. That we didn't do. But we still stayed in the same
Played
house.
Poker, that sort of thing.
And still stayed in the same bed.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, so...
I'm not kidding you. This
just between
true.
You, me, and the fence post, middle of the night when she was sound asleep, passed out or something, did you ever just, you know...
No.
I
no.
see. All right.
No, I didn't do that. But, you know...
So it's as though there was this invisible wall right down the center of that bed.
Well, yeah.
My wife and I actually built a wall at one point.
Really?
We actually built a wall. We called it the Great Wall, and it was not unlike what you see, China, Berlin, that sort of thing.
I know.
We built it because I could not trust myself middle of the night, 3 a.m., when she'd be out after a 12-er.
So, really?
So we built a wall, went right up to the ceiling, and then, because I realized I could always go upstairs and cut a hole in the floor and come down that way, I ended up running the wall straight through the second floor, too.
Really? Holy cow.
That's the story of that relationship.
Holy cow. Oh, geez, I'm sorry ended up that way. It just, sometimes, you know, sometimes that's just the way it is, you know.
My wife got her pilot's license last year. She flew over our house in June.
She didn't drop what? She pamphlets or anything.
Not pamphlets. What she dropped was some clothes of mine that she had inadvertently taken.
Uh-huh.
And they landed in the yard, and I went out to get them. And while I was scooping them up, I got hit in the back of the head by something really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It was this black box. You know the black box?
Yeah.
It's that whole deal that records all that's going on in a cockpit.
Well, how in the hell did you get that?
Well, what happened is that fell. She didn't mean to throw that. It was just like tossing a baby out with the bathwater. I took that thing into the house. It's a reel-to-reel deal. I set it up with a little program I had in there, and I listened to it. She had flown from the airport in Owatonna over our house, cursing me all the way. I had it all on tape.
What in the hell happened to make it that bad?
Well, I think what happened was I shacked up with my boy's den mother, his Cub Scout den mother.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can't do that, though, Shai.
No, what happened, it was originally part of a merit badge deal that just went awry. But
no, I understand.
So she got wind of that when my boy tried to use it to, you know, earn his way. I don't know what the hell he was going for, Eagle Scout or something.
Uh-huh.
Son of a gun has an eagle eye, I'll tell you what. Caught us in a motel. And anyway, word got passed to his mother. That's why I think maybe she's making up the whole lesbian thing, just as a way to get back at me, the same way I was going to tell her I was gay to get back at her.
Well, did you actually do that?
Well, we didn't consummate. What we did is, well, this merit badge program, I don't know if you've ever been in Scouts, but one of the things you're supposed to do is encourage people to be friends with one another, and if you can get two strangers to be friends, you get a certain number of points.
Right.
My boy hadn't done the homework. It was the night before, and I said, well, why don't you introduce me to your den mother, and we'll say we're buddies, and he needed photographic proof or something anyway, so it got a little more than just buddies, but I don't think it was anything that could have resulted in a little scout coming down the birth canal or anything like that.
No, I understand. I just, just wonder where you're coming from on all this. you know.
Well, that's why I bury myself 16 hours a day in the weather room here, Al, because weather I understand. Weather knows me and I know weather. When I'm surrounded by my gauges and dials and my little beakers and Bunsen burners and balling blasters and
buxom babes. Let me ask you a question. Do we have any bad weather coming?
Well, Thursday at 10:45, next Thursday at 10:45, there's going to be a 7-minute stretch of living hell.
Okay.
And that'll pass and we'll have nice weather again.
Okay.
Periodically, you go away, I notice, quite a bit. You leave me, you say just a minute, and you disappear. Where are you going all those times?
Went over and grabbed a beer to talk to you.
Yeah, I got you. I'm with you there. I wish I had a whole cooler full myself.
Oh, God.
Boss is calling. He's on line 3. I better go. I'll call you back.
Thank you.
All right, Al.
See you, bye.
Bye.